The Vision for India. Journey Towards God Realization. I was born on January 1, 1925, in Uttar Pradesh during the British India era. Now, as a senior citizen, I have witnessed the transition from colonial rule to independent India. I was born into a family renowned for its role in the freedom struggle. My elder brother, Advocate Iqbal Ahmad Khan Suhail, MA LLB, 1884 to 1955, was not only a freedom fighter but also a poet. In one of his poems he wrote, "Galat hai ya kh fakat hinduin ka leader the. Kutha tamam jahan bar ka renuma Gandhi." It is wrong to say he was only the leader of Hindus. Gandhi was a guiding figure for the entire world. Iqbal Ahmad Khan Suhail contested the 1936 elections in Uttar Pradesh and, after winning, became a member of the UP Assembly. As I grew older, I came across Swami Vivekananda's book Letters of Swami Vivekananda. In letter number 271 dated June 10, 1898, he wrote to a friend and shared his vision for a free India. He expressed it in these words: "For our own motherland, a junction of the two great systems Hinduism and Islam, Vedanta brain and Islam body, is the only hope I see in my mind's eye, the future perfect India rising out of this chaos and strife, glorious and invincible with Vedanta brain and Islam body." Letters of Swami Vivekananda, page 427. These beautiful memories stay etched in my heart. I actively participated in the freedom movement to the best of my ability. For example, before independence, I traveled to Mau, UP, to hear Jawaharlal Nehru, 1889 to 1964, speak. I still remember how eager people were to attend, even riding on the rooftops of buses and trains just to get there. Similarly, I attended a rally in Phulpur, Ajmagad, where I heard Subhas Chandra Bose, 1897 to 1945, speak. Subhas Chandra Bose formed the Azad Hind Fauj, Indian National Army, in 1942. His iconic slogan still echoes in history: "Give me blood, and I will give you freedom." In the same spirit, I once attended a socialist gathering where I heard a speech by Jayaprakash Narayan, 1902 to 1979. The event was held in Ajmagad. Jayaprakash Narayan later became known as Lok Nayak. And so, days of my youth passed by. Then came that historic day, August 15, 1947. I did not hear the famous speech delivered at midnight by the then Viceroy, Lord Mountbatten, 1900 to 1979, broadcast on All India Radio at 12:01 a.m., in which he declared, "Today, India is free." Like many others, I couldn't listen to the speech live on the radio, but I read it in the newspaper the next morning. On August 15, 1947, I was in Ajmagad. I still remember that night clearly. When I stepped out of my residence and walked through the streets of the city, I was surrounded by the glow of joyous lights. The entire city was lit up in celebration. That light has now faded, but the time has come for all of us to come together and light a new lamp, heralding a new era for India. An era of rebuilding the nation. The era envisioned by Swami Vivekananda. The era for which Mahatma Gandhi gave his life. The era whose final chapter perhaps still awaits the pen of India's historian. I am now over 90 years old, but my hopes are still alive. Every morning, I leave my room and sit quietly, waiting for the sun to rise. I remember that once, during an Independence Day program, I heard an Urdu poet recite, "Burj-e Man Ese Nikla Suraj, Roshan Apna Mustaqbil Hai." From the Tower of Endeavor, a sun rises, our future shines brightly. I watch the sunrise every morning, hoping that this day might be the one, the day longed for by a freedom fighter who wrote a book titled Roshan Mustaqbil, A Bright Future. I greet each new dawn with these words: "That morning will surely come, that morning will surely come." India earned its historic freedom through peaceful struggle. Now, the task of rebuilding India should also be pursued through peaceful means. Just as India once made history with peace, it is now time to harness that same strength, peace, for its reconstruction. Peace was India's strength in the past. It remains so today, and it must continue to be our strength in the future. Now, the time has come to decisively chart our course as a free nation. Swami Vivekananda once said that his dream for India was to see it emerge as a spiritual superpower after independence. India, without doubt, has the potential to become such a spiritual superpower. To turn that potential into reality, only one thing is needed: a united and democratic effort by all. Based on my experience, I believe there is only one practical model for India's development. That is the same natural model often called the American model. The American model emphasizes free competition, which means creating an environment where individuals succeed based on merit, not favoritism. The true key to progress is competition, not favoritism. In America, the principle in every field is compete or perish, meaning either compete or be finished. In common terms, this is called do or die. According to the law of nature, no group in this world can advance through favoritism. It can only succeed by demonstrating its worth through competition. It is competition that elevates a person from man to Superman. This is because the Creator has designed this world based on the principle of challenge and response. The key to individual or societal progress is to let nature operate freely. Any other principle would be man-made and can never be practically implemented. This is the natural model. The model of competition is motivating. In contrast, the socialist model is demotivating. Now is the time for us to adopt a model based on motivation and to fully abandon the model that leads to demotivation. The final moment has arrived for us to replan India's development. Once, John Kenneth Galbraith, 1908-2006, a former U.S. ambassador to India, said in a statement, "India is a functioning anarchy. I do not see this as criticism but as a challenge, and I pray that India becomes an ideal democracy. Don't take things as evil. Face them as challenges."